flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's going on 4 years ago now. It's just right. Crazy to think about that. You know, you had the run from UGA, you had the run from the Braves in 2021, and then now we've been waiting patiently for the Falcons and for United to catch back up, and hopefully with United, the additions they made in the offseason looks like they're going to be a really competitive club. But once again, it all comes down to, what are the Atlanta Falcons going to do?
Yes. So what is the plan, Stan? And today, kind of interesting story where they asked Mike Smith his opinion, and Mike Smith basically said, yeah, I mean, Jalen Carter, he's a difference maker. Yeah, and Mike knows something about coaching defense. I mean, he was a defensive coach. That's what got him the job here in Atlanta from being the D.C. His work as a linebackers coach with the Ravens, later on as D.C. with the Jags. And as you guys know, if ever there was one of the nicest guys you would have rooted for to win a Super Bowl, we love Mike Smith. Just a sweet soul. But it's not like he's like sitting trying to poke the bear or anything. He's just speaking about the obvious. Earlier today, if you listened to Andy Randy, you heard Stink on. You know, Mark Schlereth said the same thing. He talked about working a game on Fox with the Eagles were in and just walking around like the big trees that are the Georgia Bulldogs on the Eagles team, including Jalen Carter.
And it really comes down to not only recognizing talent, Mike, but being able to develop it. And that's something that the Falcons haven't been able to do. Partially because of injury, a guy that we always talk about, Troy Anderson, he hasn't been able to be developed because he can't stay healthy. And we know the raw talent's there because he won an NFC Defensive Player of the Week. But you bring in these guys, Ruka Rororo, Brandon Dorlus, those guys didn't even really play enough last year, Mike, to be developed. So you're hoping that guys like Zach Harrison continue to grow, and you're hoping that guys like, if you bring back a Nate Landman, continue to grow. But the culture, the tone that's been set in Philadelphia over the last 3, 4, 5 seasons is what separates teams like them and teams like us.
Well, it's commitment. Like, it's a commitment to defense. Certainly, they've got a better quarterback. As my like Michael Penix Jr., we're going to see what he is. I like it. I think we've seen enough to know that feel good about him. And you know my position. I'm not going to belabor that. You just either do one or the other. If you love Penix, just draft him and save that money for free agency and defense and get the right guys. But now we got him, and he's our guy. And we will have a cap hit. We know what it's going to be. Hopefully, like the Broncos, who went to the playoffs with the biggest cap hit in NFL history, dead money-wise, and got it done. That could be something that's, hey, we can do it. If, to Chris's point, you get this draft right. Do you trade down? Will you still get an impactful guy? How far are you going to? Again, all this is, there's so many hypotheticals here. You know, what if a bunch of teams move up? It's a very, very thin class for quarterbacks. Maybe somebody falls in love with somebody at Combine Week and moves up. I don't know. I mean, we never move down, let's be honest. As long as I've been doing this, that's why this is my new approach. Carl was busting my chops a few weeks ago when I said I'm not going to be the hype man when it comes to this summer camp for the Falcons in end of July and August. But one thing for certain, I can tell you, whatever you think they're going to do and whatever you want them to do, they're not going to do. And I don't mean that to be a Weisenheimer, just the way it is. The only time I think maybe twice in the last 10, 15 years, maybe more than that, the Falcons did exactly what I thought they were going to do. And one year, Chris, it was either going to be Jake Matthews or Taylor Lewan. And Jake is still playing. Taylor's retired. So I guess you could argue we got the right guy. Taylor might have been a little more explosive at times in his career. And the second time that Carl and I were on the air, we said, hey, we got to go get Vic Beasley. And for 2 seasons, it was 2.5 seasons, it was really good. Until it wasn't.
Yeah, and then the other thing, too, is we got to be honest, Mike. There's been a lot of misses in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
There just has been. You look at a lot of these second-round picks, your Richie Grants, your Troy Andersons of the world, the guys that you don't know what they're going to be, the future of Aruka Rororo. You have guys that are no longer with the team. We joked around about the Georgia Bulldogs that they did draft over the last couple of years. None of those guys are here anymore, by the way, so none of them panned out. So Terry Fontenot, as good as he is bringing in some of the free agents, he does tend to struggle a little bit when it comes to drafting non-first-round talent, although obviously we know the issues with Pitts. But this needs to be a collective. I hate to use the word, but I guess if they're going to collaborate, they best start collaborating because we know that draft is going to be here before they know it, and everybody needs to be on board. And I guess that's one thing that you could say about the hiring of Jeff Ulbrich is you know he's going to be right there, lockstep in hip with Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris trying to get this thing right.
Hopefully that's a good thing. I mean, this is the debate I was going off at the time. Saying, look, I'd love to see a new set of eyes come in. Somebody who looks at this situation differently. And as many folks have pointed out, I've heard Andy say it, I've heard a bunch of callers have said it, you know, a coach is not when he's going to be on a hot seat. And Raheem is on a hot seat. Make no doubt. I know some guys feel that Arthur's just not like one of those other owners, but I would think there's going to be a more sense of an urgency. And if you don't make the playoffs this year, everybody's going to get fired.
A fifth year of 7-10, 7-10, 7-10. No.
I mean, I just think everyone's going to get got. And like, I'm not wishing that. I'm not trying to be mean. I know some guys in this town come at it so soft and look at it like, ooh, you have patience. It's been 7-8 years now we're going on no freaking playoffs. You be patient. I'm not patient. You know, when you see all the times that we've missed, and that's Chris. Look, blowing the draft screws your team. Okay, there's only a few teams that have found a way to basically say F those picks, but they still had guys that they had drafted, like Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp. So the Rams is also like the Rams just said, the hell with the draft. No, they had a team that was really good, and they augmented it for a couple of seasons with free agency, and then they got back to the draft and doing it amazingly well.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Terry Fontenot and Raheem and even Arthur Smith back when he was here, they had a phrase that they used, a force multiplier.
Right. I've been using it myself.
Right.
When we talk
that
about
is
it.
That is a play. For those who don't know, that's players that come in and make everybody around them better by their presence on the team. Well, what's the opposite of that? Because that was Judon and Simmons last year. Unfortunately, they were
just didn't work out.
They were unmultipliers.
And by the way, I don't fault him. He rolled the dice. Unfortunately, now it comes back to bite us because we don't have that third-round draft pick. But I understand the logic behind it. We thought Judon was going to be, you know, fixing a impress. Judon basically cost himself money with his effort this year.
Yeah.
Because it was basically a one-year audition for the rest of the league, and he blew it.
He absolutely did, and so did Justin Simmons. And that one to me is honestly the more surprising one because he was not only one of the best at his position, but he's known around the league as one of the smartest football players in the NFL, just like a Jesse Bates that we have here. So you put all of these nuts and bolts that we're talking about, the poor draft decisions, the poor free agency decisions, and everything else leading up to Michael Penix Jr. being picked where he was last year and the season playing out like it did. You want to know when we're going to get our parade? When those things stop being negatives and start becoming positives.
Right. And look, we always use it as sort of a touchstone, talking about what happened at Super Bowl 51. But at some point, that's it. Now, we'll never forget it and we'll never forgive it. But at some point, you just got to say, all right, whatever. Now, how do we fix this team? Because, you know, I will say, as much as I'm trying to look forward like a frog, I'm still looking backwards at the same time. You know, those frogs have those eyes. Anyway, the point I'm getting to is Dimitroff and Fontenot have a lot of similarities in the way they approach it. They basically get the skill position guys and the offensive shiny pieces right, and they never get the trenches right on the defensive side. So that's a concern. You're hoping that this time they do get it right. The scouting department, a guy asked me the other day at the gym, he goes, who are our scouts? I go, well, they moved some guys out. They brought some guys in, but I don't know. It's a great question. I presume you are looking under every rock. I would say go look under the big rocks in Athens, you know, as opposed to some of the cuter moves you've made in the last 3 years. But, you know, that's just – but that's franchise history. That's why, as I said, as much as we want to kind of say, hey, all right, clean slate, you are stuck looking back at the stupid things this franchise has done, like drafting just 12 Georgia players in 58 years of Falcons football. Guys, I said this last week with Carl, just for Chris to put a fine point on it. We talked about it. We're not saying to draft Georgia players just for draft. Oh, so a Georgia fan's going to come and buy a personal seat license. I'm going to watch my Georgia. No, because they're the best players. Alabama, the best players. We've only drafted 7 Alabama players in the last 30 years. We have an aversion to the best conference in football, the SEC, save for Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones.
It's not.
And Mike Johnson.
Well, right. We love you, Mike, big fella. It's not a coincidence when it's that many you know, years in a row with that few results. And what it really comes down to, Mike, is this year you're going to have as good a chance as any that one of Mykel Williams or Jalen Walker will be there. And again, we're not saying take them to make it look good optically. We're saying take them because that's the exact type of football player you need on your team that's going to be a difference maker, that we just saw what N'Kobe Dean helped do this year, right, what Nolan Smith, what Jalen Carter, and Jordan Davis all did for one team to help them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, we'll see what it's like to have another Super Bowl parade twice in 7 years. Yeah, we're going to talk to Rob Ellis, our buddy from our sister station, 94WIP up in Philly. He'll join us next segment later in the show because it's always football season here. We'll talk about some of the moves in the offseason. A guy who's always dialed in, Benjamin Albright from out in Denver, he's going to join us. Caleb Johnson. We'll talk about the Hawks looking to make it 4 in a row. Go figure. Lose 8 in a row, go win 4 in a row.
Exactly.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, and the Knicks are up next. They're coming off a back-to-back effort. We'll get Caleb's take on what we're doing here. We'll talk more about the All-Star Game and what that's going to look like with a new format. This hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Chris is in for Carl today, who's under the weather. And it's funny because normally I got like a little mini vacation coming up. And the joke is always when Carl's about to go on a vacation or I go, you know that we're going to mail the show in. And then I was told this morning, oh no, Carl is not coming in today. You better get dedicated, pal. So, yes. No, it's not a B. Oh, that won't be a B-minus, Owen. It'll be an A. We're going for a no-hitter today.
I'm hoping for that.
A fully invested Mike Bell.
Yeah,
Love it.
More or less. But anyway, we will get to that. We'll get to that coming up next. Talk about, yeah, I love a parade, even if it is up in Philly. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're just saying how we want a parade, you know. Not like, you know, we have a St. Patrick's Day parade. It's okay here in Atlanta. But I mean like a real parade,
yeah.
You know. The whole shebang. We did have a parade for Atlanta United, and that was cool. And granted, you know, it was just 2 years in, we won the championship, but you really couldn't expect the city to give us all a Peachtree Street, so we ran it down Baker, down by the aquarium, and then over to the backyard, Home Depot. Still a great time, just a cold, rainy day, but it was a championship. Philly, these meatheads are climbing up poles and getting stupid and turning over cars and going 8-blank, but hey, they've earned the right to do that. And we'll talk to a guy who gets to soak it all in. So jelly right now. Do I sound petty, Chris?
Nah.
Dukes and Bell with Chris Thomas in for Carl, and he's ready to go. Rob Ellis from Sports Radio 94 WIP, our sister station up there in Philly. Well, Rob, congratulations. Pretty impressive.
Hold on. Let me get down from the pole first. The reception is not great up here. I got to slide down very carefully. You don't need burns in those areas, guys.
Right,
you
know what I'm
saying? Yes,
right. I mean,
yes, correct.
No, I mean, look, it is like not all fans, but many fans in Philadelphia are just animals. But again, you've earned the right to go crazy. Did you anticipate?
You do sound very jealous.
Well, I speak from personal experience, having been to the vet and the spectrum. As a Ranger and Giants fan, these are terrible decisions. A Mets fan for Phillies games and a Giants fan for Eagles games. But either way, regardless, how impressed did you even anticipate the level of dominance they would have on Sunday?
No, and I think anybody who says otherwise is lying. Honestly, I said all week I thought they'd win. I thought they'd win because I thought they were more talented. I thought the edge of having lost 2 years ago and the manner in which they did versus the nice little cherry on top for a three-peat, I thought that edge would play into it. No, I didn't see this coming at all. I thought we would be, you know, nail-biting, agita, white-knuckle, down to the last second. I really did. I mean, I thought this was going to be, you know, just guppy stomach or whatever the hell they call it. I thought this thing was going to come down to the last second. I'm blown away. I'm shocked. Look, the Eagles have been, they're 16-1 since the bye week. So I guess maybe I shouldn't be shocked. But when you blow out Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Travis Kelce, yeah, I mean, there's, anybody who says they weren't surprised in Philadelphia is flat out lying to you.
When it comes to Jalen Hurts, was the internal belief there that if the game went the way it did with Saquon being bottled up, that he was able to do what he did?
I didn't think let me put it this way. He played great in the last Super Bowl against them. He made one gigantic mistake, right, which ultimately probably cost him the game, probably cost him the MVP. I'm not surprised he played well. But if you told me that they were going to be able to handle Saquon to the degree that they were, I thought it would be a really ugly game for the Eagles. I would say to you the defense, which they were great, would have had to have been great, and it would have been a really close game, and likely the Eagles would have lost the game had Saquon, you know, done what he did in that game. So it's like this game was filled with surprises, guys.
We had talked a lot, again, about Rob. I got to reset because Carl's off today. I've got to do all the point work, which, you know, not my favorite. Rob Ellis is with us, guys, from IP in Philly here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We had talked about Fangio and how he'd never beat Mahomes. But it just, yeah, you give him those kind of tools like Jalen Carter and all those dogs and everybody else. It just seemed like they had the plan, and I've never seen Mahomes look that bad in a big game.
I haven't either. You know, here's the thing with Fangio that you do have to take into account. You guys know this. Some of that stuff can be a little bit misleading. You know, his offenses in those games averaged, I think, 11 points per game. You know, they just didn't show up. So I think that also has to come into play. But the job that he did, there's nothing more remarkable, even Saquon's season, there's nothing more remarkable than the defensive turnaround. Guys, they were bottom three in almost every important category last year. You saw the collapse, the way that they fell apart. To have them top five in every category and to go out there and just bludgeon the Chiefs in the manner in which they did, Fangio deserves a lot of props. Look, as you guys well know, there's a lot of Bulldogs that are playing really well for that team, and they have a lot of talent. And Howie Roseman did a great job you know, unearthing Zach Bond from New Orleans. But, man, Fangio, here's the other part of this thing. Last year, Fangio gets badmouthed out the door by Dolphins players. Mm. What losers they look like.
Right.
How much credit should they get for riding it out with Sirianni and not pulling the trigger when a lot of people wanted them to?
They should get a ton. Look, here's the thing, I was not a fire Fangio guy. I recognize there are some things that are, let's put it this way, unorthodox. You guys know I don't think it's a winning proposition to get into it with your own fans, you know, those kind of things. But he connects. And at some level, I would always get – you guys probably get a lot of the, you know, similar questions with the Falcons with certain people. And I would get calls that would say, well, what does he do? Well, you know what he does? He connects with these guys. He's a CEO. I liken it to a baseball manager where there's a lot of twists and turns and ups and downs and things that you have to be able to deal with for as far as personalities go. And he's great, even from the jump with the veterans. Back in the day with guys like Kelsey and Fletcher Cox, they had his back. He connected well with them. And that told me something when veterans connect with them. But these guys really do play hard for him.
And the Saquon Barkley thing, Rob, I mean, like the Giants, if you watch that in the midseason, offseason Hard Knocks, the Giants just come off looking like such punks and amateurs. And Saquon, it just seems like they rallied. It's amazing that we beat you guys on that Saquon drop pass going back to early in the season. It seems like it was like years ago. But, I mean, just so good. And also, you know, I thought it was really a class act not going for the 2000 saying, look, I got to stay healthy. I got to stay healthy for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we saw it earlier in the year, guys. He was smoking the Giants, if you remember, in New York. He could have gone for the all-time Eagles rushing mark in one game. And he said, let the young guys eat. It's never been about that for Saquon. Look, as great as this guy is on the field, man, he is absolutely a guy you want in your locker room. For the life of me, how Joe Shane and Dable survived in New York is beyond belief. I mean, the owner is literally, you know, hey, I'd really have a hard time seeing this guy leave. I'd especially have a hard time seeing him go up the road to Philly. And you keep that guy around after that? I mean, It is astonishing.
When it comes to the roster building process and Howie Roseman, who's been there a while and is now regarded as one of the best executives in all of football, as we look here in Atlanta, Rob, to sort of mold our own sort of Eagles path, if you will, to forming our own defense, which needs a lot of work, describe his strategy over the last couple of years in putting together this unit that ultimately suffocated the Chiefs the way that they did.
From a drafting standpoint, you go inside out. Whether it's Jalen Carter, whether it's Jordan Davis, whether it's getting a guy a little bit later like Milton Williams, whether it's, you know, taking a project guy like Jalix Hunt, who was a converted safety who just kept growing. You, on that side of the ball, you build it, and both sides really, but I'm just giving you the defensive line. And then you go offensively, it's Landon Dickerson, it's Lane Johnson, it's unearthing another guy who never played football in his life, didn't know how to put pads on. And Jordan Mailata, who was a rugby player. You know, it's those kind of moves where you understand we better protect the quarterback. Just ask Patrick Mahomes. You better protect the quarterback, and you better be able to get after the quarterback. And the fact that Fangio didn't send one blitz in that game, not one, all of that pressure, all of those hits came from a four-man front. That's ultimately how you still win in this league is the trenches.
It's Dukes and Bell with our man Chris in for Carl today. We are talking with Rob Ellis, guys, Sports Radio 94 WIP up there in, man, the city of brotherly shove. He joins us here, man. The other thing is A.J. Brown. Last year, we know the coaching staff kind of got sideways and they kind of overcorrected. Patricia just absolutely just blew it on defense. It seemed like there was going to be a mini soap opera with A.J. Brown bellyaching about, you know, the touches when they were running the ball so much. And then it all kind of went away. So is that going back to Sirianni or is A.J. Brown just mercurial or how did that all play out?
Well, he's mercurial for sure. I mean, he fits the receiver position very well. Even if you guys check his Instagram, he posted some weird thing last night. Like, I thought winning it would be the ultimate. It's not really. I still need to dominate people.
What?
I don't know. Check it out when you get a chance.
All right.
Yeah. He's a strange cat. Now, productive, yes. Is a guy who's willing to block downfield. You know, for Saquon, he's been willing to do that all year. And really, there haven't been any major blowups. But I always feel like you're about one half step away from something with AJ, whether he's reading a book on the sideline or, you know, one of these Instagram posts or whatever. He's a different cat. He's a great player, right? He's a great player. And I think to some degree, it's just you got to live with some of this stuff in the NFL with certain players. He's one of them. But to your greater point here, these guys really have bought into what it is. Like, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman ultimately want to win pounding the ball like it's 1975. But when Saquon Barkley is blowing up to the degree that he is, and the offensive line goes to the coach on the bye week and says, man, let us run the ball. To their all of their credit, they did it. They played to their strengths. They didn't try to go Andy Reid square peg round hole. Like, Andy Reid in that game, explain this to me, guys. How do you not in the third quarter come out at least trying to run the ball to take some of the heat off your quarterback?
Right.
Yeah, they only ran it like three or four times. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
That's it. Right. Pacheco killed the Eagles two Super Bowls ago. He ran all over them.
Yeah.
And it was like Eagles fans having PTSD from Andy back in the day before he became, you know, the finished product that he is now, where he would get so stubborn with passing the ball, and we'd all be ripping our hair out saying, dude, mix it up a
run
little
the
bit
ball.
Here. Yeah.
Rob, before we let you go, Jason Kelce is synonymous with the Eagles. He's also now one of the more front-facing media stars, not just in sports, but in all of Hollywood. Does him being so closely associated with the organization, do fans love that and embrace it, or do they not want that national spotlight attached to their team?
No, they love it. They love it. Like, Kelce's a guy who can do no wrong. And even this week had to be a very weird situation for him, right? I know he addressed it on his podcast and whatnot, but, you know, your brother's playing and you also have the Eagles, you bleed green. It's a tough spot for him. But no, he's in that category along with guys like Brian Dawkins. And, you know, there have been, I'm sure now, Saquon and et cetera. But really, the city loves him. Because here's the thing with Jason Kelce, and it gets him in trouble sometimes. He's not a guy who's walking around with 35 bodyguards. He might have to start, but he's a guy that you can find in your corner bar sometimes, who's, you know, arm wrestling, you know, Johnny Sixpack at the end of the bar. Like, he's that guy. He's that accessible, and I think that's really appreciated in this town.
Hey, Rob, one more question. We always get in our arguments, and sometimes we agree with the audience, that our owner, Arthur Blank, is a wonderful person, but he's a meddler. What's Lurie's approach up there, man? Is he hands-off, or how's it work?
I wouldn't say he's hands off, but I wouldn't say he's a meddler either. I think he has such deep trust in Howie Roseman. But that's not to say that he's not involved. Like, the coach meets with him every week, every Tuesday. He's up to speed on everything. He will give input on, hey, I really like this guy in the draft, which I know that probably sounds absurd, but he will do that kind of stuff. But ultimately, he lets his football people do their thing. And again, you know, Howie is a guy who's had some ups and downs. And when Chip Kelly was here, Jeffrey Lurie gave him full control and Howie had to stand aside. But he came back strong, and he's been a much better general manager since then. And Jeffrey Lurie is extremely loyal to him. So ultimately, Howie has the final say in everything. But I would say, you know, Jeffrey Lurie's been a really good owner for this team. I think he gets it in a lot of ways. And I think he's grown and learned a lot from when he, you know, bought the team in 1994.
Right. Well, it's a hell of a position to be in, man, to be in the Super Bowl three times in the last 7 years, to win two of them, man. So, yes, begrudgingly, congratulations.
I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, listen, I'm of the age that we went. I thought I'd never see a Super Bowl win, okay,
right.
First of all. The Sixers haven't won since 83. The Flyers haven't won since 75. So, yeah, trust me, it's been through some stuff, okay?
Well, hang in there. Have fun at the parade, brother, man. Take care.
All right, fellas. You got it.
You got it. Rob Ellis, guys, from 94 WIP up there in Philly. Yeah, think about that, guys. The last 7 years, we haven't made the playoffs. The last 7 years, they've gone to the Super Bowl three times from the NFC. Hey, man, if that doesn't make you feel good, we'll give you some positive. We'll talk about the Hawks going for four wins in a row at the Mecca. Chris is in for Carl. This hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We'll come back and tell you what's happening. It is Dukes and Bell on a rainy day in Georgia. Chris is in for Carl today, and just talking to Rob Ellis up there. A couple of guys hit us up in the text line. Why are you talking about the Eagles, man? Well, I mean, it is the last, 72 hours since the Super Bowl was over. We're just kind of seeing what's going on up there and how you build a really good team and, get back to the Super Bowl three times in 7 years. Just something we thought we'd share with you, you know?
Yeah, it was more about bringing on somebody that can speak to the process that got them to the Super Bowl, which, I don't know, meant drafting some of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, Mike, and we asked him about it. What a foreign concept.
So again, Chris is being glib right there and a bit of a Weisenheimer. But no, that's why we had Rob on, and we talked to these guys from around the country and guys in our conference, sometimes guys in our division. It's sometimes we get to talk to the general manager. Oh, wait a minute.
Now Mike is being glib.
Hey, man, let's tell you what's going on with the daily download and things.
Story number one.
Look at my boy Trey Young. He's all grown up. He's doing everything you could ask for. We've talked about the maturity. I heard Andy and Randy talking about it earlier, you know, how he handled the invitation, albeit belated, to the All-Star weekend in San Francisco. And he says, yeah, I'm in. And a couple years ago, he said, no, I'm out. And, like, I get it. I see maturity. I see a guy that says, hey, I'm there representing Atlanta for my teammates and everything else. It's just, it's everything you want. Everybody, as I said to you the other day, Chris and Carl, grow up at your own pace. I didn't really... Well, some would say I really haven't grown up, but I didn't get really grown up until I was about 45, and it's a work in progress.
Well, here's the thing. A couple of years ago, the question was, is Trae Young a leader? Does he have a presence in the locker room? Is he a guy that you could build a team around? Now the question is, how do we get guys to come in here and build around Trae?
Right.
Because he has proven himself, as you just said, to be a leader, to be the guy on and off the court that the organization paid him the buku bucks and will have to do again, by the way,
right,
in order to keep him here. And now it's about bringing in guys that you can build a winning team around. And I think the core four is there. Dyson, Jalen, Trey, and who am I forgetting?
Reece Hoshea.
Those guys are all there, and they'll be there for the long term. So this offseason is going to be, in my opinion, the biggest test for Landry Fields, because you'll have money and you have the best version of Trae Young. What can you do with it?
Right. Tonight, by the way, taking on the Knicks, who played the Pacers last night. So off the back-to-back, Veet is out after he landed on his back, being dropped 8 feet after he got submarined in that game. Also, we don't have Larry Nance Jr. with that ankle, which looked really, really bad as he was hobbled off the field, off the court, I should say, down there in Orlando. So Trae is day-to-day, but that means he's not going to miss an opportunity to do his thing on the biggest stage at Madison Square Garden. And now it's strange. You can go and make it four in a row. Now, look, I know who Terrence Mann is because he played at Florida State, but a lot of guys are like, you're underestimating Caris LeVert and Terrence Mann. Well, perhaps we were. Guilty as charged. Maybe Landry Fields and his minions have done some good work here. It's a shame that, you know, you couldn't still have found a way to add some bench depth and keep DeAndre Hunter. But I understand the logic, Chris, because DeAndre Hunter had been a huge, colossal disappointment for 5 of the 6 years, and now he finally hits it, so they get him off the roster. Well, there's actual value there.
Well, what's interesting is I've been listening to a lot of different people, our own Caleb Johnson, who we'll talk to, Mike Conti, and it seems like they would have potentially moved on from DeAndre Hunter anyway, even if Jalen Johnson was healthy. Now, to me, that's a little bit of a head-scratcher just because I'm sitting there thinking, why would you take away one of your biggest assets in a season in which you can do something unless they didn't believe that the magic was real? I don't know why you would move on from him in that instance, but but now, obviously, with Jalen out, it was the right thing.
Look, we asked Steve Kunin, and guys, I get emails and texts all the time. He goes, well, why does Steve answer the questions? Steve, think of Steve as like a White House press secretary, okay? He's not making the ultimate decisions. He's going to tell you the logic behind some of those decisions. He's the CEO of the squad, but he's not in there making those trades and all those things that Landry and company are doing. But Steve is gracious enough to come on and try to explain what the plan is. And sometimes it seems like there is no plan. But right now, you can't argue in the short term with some of these moves we made. Our bench is better than it was before the deadline. Unfortunately, we don't have the guy, DeAndre Hunter, who's having this career season. And now we'll see what he does for Cleveland, where, you know, maybe they're going to have to understand, maybe you take him from the bench and you don't put him in as a starter. That's going to be a work in progress up there.
Yeah, he didn't exactly have the most stellar debut. He had 5 fouls. He had 12 points. It was not great.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Hey, pitchers and catchers have reported, but do the Braves have enough pitchers? Right now, though, talk some football.
Story number two.
Yeah, we just talked about it with Rob Ellis. Season is over, but certainly you look at where, you know, the Falcons are and everybody else. It's now the offseason, and we hope that Jeff Ulbrich is giving him, whether it's Raheem Morris and Terry, I mean, the brain trust, give him some no-nonsense assessments about what we got and truly what we don't got on that defense.
Mike, we'll talk about this more in the Falcon Report. I think they need 3 new starters in the secondary.
It's 2016 all over again.
Yeah. I think they need a CB2. I think they need a nickel. And I think they need a safety. And I think all of that can come from one place. So you're going to have to do a good job, Terry, in both free agency and the draft.
Yeah, this offseason is big for a number of reasons. First, the pressure. Now, some guy hit me up just now on the text line, 404-726-0929. I can't answer all of them, but we read as many as we can. And one guy says, Arthur will never fire Raheem Morris after two seasons. I think differently. I think last year, I don't think Raheem distinguished himself. I think he cost you some games. No one could have expected to deal with the Kirk Cousins soap opera the way it played out, especially after what Kirk just said in New Orleans. But still, I still think there's things a veteran coach, and he is a veteran coach. He's been in the league before. He's been a head coach, and he still made some fundamentally flawed decisions. Jimmy Lake was one of those. You know, you're hiring two rookie coordinators, and one was not up for the task. You had to move on. Had to take over the defense late in the season. So I do feel that first things first, you don't get it right. You don't go to the playoffs this year, everyone's getting fired. And then Arthur, begrudgingly, and he'll be miserable about it. He'll have to fire everybody and bring in a whole new regime. And guys go, I always love these questions that come up. We haven't made the playoffs in 7 years. Do you really feel it will be that difficult to find new guys? Okay, we've got a lot of staff. One thing that Fontenot did, I mean, a lot of good players that this staff put together, and they're pretty strong. Now, hard decisions, Chris, have to be made about the cap. Who you're going to keep? Who's you going to move on from? Guy brought up an interesting point yesterday saying, could Algier maybe get you an extra draft pick somewhere in this draft? Perhaps. And then go draft another running back and save yourself some loot. It's an interesting point. I love Tyler, and we love having a guy that rushes for 600 yards, and people don't even realize how good he is, could start for any other team. But is that a luxury maybe they need to kind of leverage to get some more stuff to help the defense?
I couldn't disagree with that text more, Mike. If you don't make the playoffs again, you're telling me Raheem Morris comes. No. As you said, it's a clean slate.
There's just some guys out there who have their own agendas. And then there's folks that just, I don't know, you get the patience. I say it all the time, the patience of Job. Guys, this team hasn't gone to the play. We just had a radio host out from Philly. He's seen his team in the Super Bowl three times in those last 7 years that we have done nothing, that we haven't gone to the playoffs. We've gone through three different coaches. Okay, now it's Raheem. And I'm telling you, the Arthur, and I don't know how it works up there. We're told that Rich McKay is no longer involved. Okay, well then whoever it is, Brent and the other guys, maybe they gather around and they say, this is untenable, you got to move on. No general manager in the league lasts for 5 years and doesn't put his team in the playoffs. That doesn't happen, okay?
Or have a winning season.
Period. Thank you. So I don't know what you guys are watching, but I mean, yes, guys, a guy hit me up just now. He goes, you'd fire everybody all the time. Yeah. Yes, I would. I'd be the George Steinbrenner of the NFL. I wouldn't be as big a turd as Tepper, but up in Charlotte, but I would be results driven. And there's always there's somebody who, where would you get somebody? Well, I don't know. Talk to whoever. Who does Howie Roseman talk to in Philly? Who does Veach talk to in Kansas City? These would be the starting points for where we would go. First things first, to Chris's point, let's get the draft right and fix this freaking team and get back in the playoffs. And you get to keep your job. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen. It doesn't need to be an edict that rains down on high from Arthur Blank. It should be sort of not spoken. It should just be understood that that's going to be what the goal is this season. And if it's not met, there needs to be sweeping change. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons organization, the way that last season ended was an utter embarrassment.
Right.
You don't get to come back, have another disappointing season, and survive that. Sorry, you don't.
And, you know, we'll get into this. We got a whole show to talk about the Falcons. And get some of your phone calls going as well. But that's another aspect of this. I mean, what are we here for? What is this about? I mean, the good news is Michael Penix has still got a lot of people energized about this team. I've seen it happen before with other teams in the city. Sometimes when fans just throw their hands up, they don't even care. It's happened a few times with the Hawks. That's the worst thing, when you're irrelevant. Hawks aren't irrelevant. People are passionate about this team. They just get frustrated. The conversation Carl and I have almost every week with people, whether it's on the air or on the text lines or on Twitter, where it's like, same old Falcons. Yeah, because they never do anything to change your thoughts and the narrative about that. Hopefully that does change this year.
Story number three.
All right, they're saying Strider is going to be ready to go maybe sooner than we expected. Double A was on with the Steakhouse earlier this week. That would be some great news. But man, I just don't think we have enough starting pitching on the back end.
Again. And that's the problem. It's relying on guys that you don't know what they're going to give you on a start-to-start basis for very, very important positions on a club that's expected to contend. What I don't understand is why not do what the other teams did, bringing in guys like Max Scherzer that we talked about, Flaherty that we talked about, guys that aren't breaking the bank. You gave Charlie Morton $20 million a year the last 3 years. You're telling me you couldn't do 17 for 2 years for Jack Flaherty, who's an ace? I mean, come on, man. That's what I don't understand. I know AA is the king of the coupon. I get it. But at the same time, you need to have a roster that's ready to compete with the Dodgers. You need to have a roster that's ready to compete with the Padres, who ended your season last year. And then there's the Yankees, and there's other teams, and the Astros in the American League that you need to deal with. Why are you setting yourself up to start behind the eight ball when the money that it's going to cost to bring in some of these guys is not putting you to $300 million at the payroll? It's not.
Well, we've talked, you were ahead of this doing when Chris does the shows at night, talking about, you know, the guys you mentioned, Flaherty. That was one that, like, it just fits into the mold when you see what AA has done in the past. We get it. Everyone's got their philosophy. He's going to set his 1-8, and he's never going to overspend on pitching. He's always going to look for value. You know, it's ironic, though, because, you know, Schuerholz, we had the best pitching staff in Major League Baseball for 15 years. You know, there's so many years where, I mean, shoot, I remember back in the early 2000s, they had so much pitching. Guys like Denny Nagel would win 17 or 18 games and couldn't even get a start in a best of five. You know, so it's just, now it's a different philosophy. We certainly hope if these guys are healthy, you're going to bash. But then you get to the October, and then they got to have some pitching, which the last, even the year we won the World Series, you didn't have enough starting pitching. The bullpen saved your cheese. Grant McCauley is down there in Northport. Some video today, saw some of the stuff, including Matt Olson doing some work. So it's not just pitchers and catchers. Everybody's down there. All the Braves are down there putting some work. Saw some Jurickson and Profar, Michael Harris. Grant's, again, follow him, guys, at Grant McCauley. He's posted a bunch of content from down there in Northport today for 92.9 The Game.
You mentioned the bullpen, Mike. I think they're two arms short in the bullpen right
now.
Yeah,
you need some help. I mean, and I said last week we're going to be probably, during the camp will be going on, and they'll be adding some dudes. Hi, my name is. Welcome to the Braves. Don't know why they do this, other than the argument we've had forever that Alex does have a self-imposed salary cap. Now, we're top seven in payroll, but they're not going to let him. Like, we're not asking you to spend like the Dodgers. We're just asking you to address needs. That's all Chris and I are saying. But yeah. I just think he's got to operate under a budget, which he's never going to cop to it. So guys always hit me up. Well, what do you mean there's a budget? Well, then why else wouldn't you? We're here to try to win the World Series. Are you telling me that corporate, like Terry McGurk's lighting a cigar with 100 going, nah, peasants, you've had your World Series. Nah. You know, the Braves, you know, it's not Liberty anymore. It's its own thing. I hope that's not the case. I mean, I'd like to think that we've got this window of great young athletes all under contract. You would maximize your weak areas, which is pitching.
Now, here's going to be the problem before we get out of here. Grant's going to come on at 5:40, and I'm going to ask him, hey, Grant, who's pitching the eighth inning for the Braves right now? And it's going to be, well, it'll be a combination of Pierce Johnson and Dylan Lee, and we'll see if one guy. No. Go get a guy that can pitch the eighth inning.
Yeah, I was joking around about the Falcons. I said, yeah, if I was an owner, I would be firing guys every 2 years. A guy named Noble hit me up on Twitter. He said, yeah, Mike, and your teams would suck. Oh, you mean like not going to the playoff for 7 years?
Yeah.
That kind of suck? You know, hello? Think, you know, guys, before you engage in social media, engage brain, okay? Take it from a guy who knows, who sometimes doesn't. We'll come back, guys. We got our 4th-and-1. We'll bounce around the NFL. And a lot of interesting decisions and a lot of things about this draft. Who's going to be moving up to maybe really reach for a quarterback? We'll talk about it next.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.